Podcast. Welcome to the Almost Perfect Podcast, a celebration of persisting through the fucking horrors, man. I feel like that's what we're all doing at the moment, just persisting through one fucking horrible thing after another. And if there's one thing that Apocalypse Now taught me is that you must make a friend of horror and moral terror, or they are enemies to be truly feared. And I don't know if I've quite made a friend with them yet. I don't know if I've made a friend yet. I feel like they're still enemies. But the horrors do persist, and so do we. So, yeah, we fucking are. Sure, some of you are like, what are you talking about, Bob? But, I don't know. It's a lot. There's obviously the news. Just all of it. The fact that, I feel like we're, in World War III at the moment, and no one's really, caught on to that fact just yet. Maybe I'm being a little alarmist. I don't think so. But just with all the news lately, there's a lot. North Korea's acting up again. You got the Red Sea shit where Iran, Chindo is like, hey, fuck off. Lost us. And then others were like, nah, we're not going to lose you. You guys are attacking our ships. We're not attacking your ships. We're attacking ships that help Israel. Apparently. I don't fucking know the reality of any of this. And Iran was like, you'll pull through. We're going to fuck you up. Essentially. I'm using, Ambila language here, I guess. to describe this global conflict. And yeah, seems like things are going to escalate there. So that's something to look forward to. And yeah, obviously you've got Russia, Ukraine, you've got Myanmar, you've got all the stuff that's happening with Sudan and the Congo, and I'm sure there's lots of other shit happening elsewhere that I haven't yet picked up on my news feeds. So there's that. And then there's also, I guess I can give you a trigger warning here for suicide. Skip ahead if you don't want to hear me talk about that shit. But yeah, my mom called me this morning to tell me how the cops and emergency services and all of that were outside her place all of last night and everything, because her neighbor's brother, who had been house sitting for her neighbor and her neighbor's brother's partner, were found dead in the garage in the back of the car. And there was a note and everything. And apparently they'd been there since the weekend. And the reason, why it got found out was because of the smell. So that's disturbing as fuck. And then also had another friend who had a close friend of his be murdered. Last month, my grand's carer, her nephew died because a little 3-year-old kid was running around the house and tripped over a cord and pulled a flat screen TV on his head and broke his neck. So yeah, it's good times all around, people. A lot of fucking death lately. I told you last week about the puppy that died in my fucking hands. So all is dark, deadly, and fucking cheerless, people. I think that's how it goes. I don't know. I haven't read King Lear in a while. Quite a while, actually. Since high school. It was my matric book. Or my matric play. And yeah, man. Things definitely feel dark and shit. And I've been spending this week trying to just, spruce up the apartments a bit. I've been doing some spring cleaning and stuff. I've been taking stock of various things, planning for the year. For comedy, for podcasting, for various things. And then, you just fucking hear just everything. Just all the fucking death and destruction. Obviously, Palestine being obliterated by Israel and the whole world just being like, yo, this is fine. This is okay. This is totally chilled. No stress, bro. It's fine. They're just, brown people. They don't really fucking matter. That's makes it difficult sometimes to actually plan ahead, to actually go hey, let's fucking try and have a career. And it's what's the point of having a fucking career in this fucking I don't know, waking nightmare, I guess. And it's funny because, like, you know, I try my best sometimes to be one of those people who's like, oh, you know, there's always light if you look for it. There's always hope. But there's also just always constant fucking darkness. And I think if you look at the history of humanity, it's probably been more bad than good. Like, I don't know if you've ever read the book, The End Is Always Near by Dan Carlin. Holy fuck. And just his podcast, Hardcore History. If you've never heard it, it's quite eye-opening to just how horrific humans have been throughout history. I mean, I think I can't remember what the series was on exactly, but it was basically just about, like, yeah, like how terrible humans can be with, you know, people taking their kids to public executions and stuff like that, where that was just the norm. That was just how people were entertained in the past. And so, I don't know, it doesn't give me that much hope for current humanity, because I don't think we've necessarily evolved past a lot of those tendencies. And I think that is very fucking apparent when you do look at the world around you. At the same time, when I look out my fucking window, yeah, things are pretty chilled. For the most part, I do live on Helen Joseph Road, so pretty chilled is very subjective there. Like, it's, at night it's quite loud here, and it's quite chaotic, and yeah, there's lots of people getting mugged and phones getting stolen and that sort of thing. You hear people screaming in the streets and yeah. So, but today in the mornings when I look out and it's the birds are fucking chirping, the hardy dogs, and yeah, it's like, oh, life's not so bad. But as soon as you know, I read the news or look a little past my little block of flats, you know, you see the degradation, you see the poverty, you see just how fucked so much is. And while there are little pockets of joy and hope and love and beauty and all of that, like I've said, I mean, I really do believe that most of life is horror. Like, it is persisting through that. And I think, like, that's some Albert Camus shit right there, you know, some Sisyphusian shit right there. One must imagine Sisyphus happy. Like, it's, life is absurd, and the fact that we deal with all these things, all these overwhelming things, like these things that I feel, you know, are really tough to ever really resolve. I mean, you know, I've read a lot of World War II literature or post-World War II literature and that, and, like, gives you a lot of perspective on how people do make it through horrors and that, but it stays with them. It's hard not to. Yeah, it's, once again, there is hope to be found in that. There is joy to be found in that, that people go through these absolutely, like, that's also a thing. Like, I talk about this stuff, but, like, you know, my life's pretty chilled in comparison to what I'd say the majority of people in the world go through. And so that also brings things home a bit sometimes, where it's like, I'm like, oh, I'm not happy with my life. And it's just like, dude, shut the fuck up. Your life's amazing. What do you fucking mean? You've got everything you could ever want. Like, yeah, you're not, like, famous and super successful and all of this shit, but you're doing all the things that you love. You've got people who you love and who love you. And while I have experienced my own fair share of death, both very up close and also just, you know, with my friends and stuff over the years, like, yeah, I mean, you do have to come to terms with it, you know. You have to figure that shit out for yourself on how you move forward, how you accept the fact that this is a losing game no matter what. Like, either you die, which I think is kind of the best option, or everyone around you dies. Like, that's, as you get older, that's how that whole thing fucking works. And you've got to learn to reconcile that shit. And I think that is the absurdity of life. I think that is the big disconnect, you know, that big thing that awareness, unfortunately, plagues us with. Like, that gives us that existential fucking dread, because we know we're not long for this world. And yeah, personally, I've come to terms with my own death many, 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 many times over. Like, you know, as a morose suicidal fuck, like, I've definitely accepted the fact that I will die. But it is dealing with everyone else's deaths and dealing just with the way this capitalistic hellscape is set up. And it's not a very soft world. It really isn't, and it could be. Like, that's also the thing that really fucking gets to me, I think, is when you look at a lot of what's happening these days, it's the decisions of handfuls of people sometimes, you know, in reality, and everyone else just having to go along because of laws that are all made up anyway. And even then, half the people, you know, fucking don't abide by the laws, you know, these big nations and stuff. Like, even like just the fucking UN is pretty much fucking useless when you've got like six countries that, I think it's six or seven, I can't remember, fuck, it's been a while since I've done history, people. But, you know, that can just veto things. They can just go, nah, we're cool, that's not gonna happen now. One country can fucking do that. One fucking government can do that. Not even the country, just that country's representatives, who might not even necessarily represent the people of that fucking country properly. So the whole system's completely fucked, and we're all just suffering under it. Like, that's it. That's the reality, man. I mean, especially here in South Africa, like, I think most people are very aware that, you know, your governments, both in the past and in the current, can really fuck up life for a lot of fucking people. Like, I definitely think, obviously, apartheid was way fucking worse, but I do think the ANC has also very much, you know, led this country to ruin and led this country down dark and bad paths and let its own people down in a lot of ways. And that's fucking tragic, because they were a liberation party and they had the potential. I mean, obviously there's history here. There's obviously, they were saddled with a lot of fucking problems that the apartheid government had set up, and we are still living in the shadow of apartheid, and a lot of stuff that was set up in apartheid still exists and still persists. Like, you know, the white, like, monopoly capital kind of situation, although I know that was a term come up that was came up with by a fucking think tank, I think. Like, I don't know that actually. I read that somewhere. So I can see that, and as a way to distract people from, you know, the looting, the corruption, and all the lack of fucking service delivery by the ANC. And so yeah, we've got to continually just try and fucking carry on living our lives, you know, carry on trying to just eke out an existence, despite the fact that the people in power are continually making it fucking harder. And often that means your fellow man might make it harder for you, because they're not provided for, because they don't have opportunities in that. And so you suddenly have a gun to your face. So yeah, this has been fun and chipper, hey? But that's the thing, like, it's been, I mean, this week we started up the, I mean, we didn't end the Not Quite Right gig at Ace's Pizza, we just continued it, but yeah, we had a dope gig on Wednesday. I ended up getting up. I was actually going to take a break for a couple weeks, but yeah, decided to jump on Wednesday, and it was decent in that. And it's like, you know, I'm chatting to my friend Neil Green, who I'm sure you know. I'm sure you know Neil Green. I've mentioned him a few times. But we're going to be doing some more podcasting this year. I think we're going to be restarting Strongly Disagree, which was a podcast we had together for a minute, where we just disagreed with each other. Because we disagree with each other, like, all the fucking time anyway. So we're like, let's rather just record that. And I've also got another idea for a podcast I want to do. Plus, you know, various other plans and ideas that I hope to come to fruition this year. And like, I mean, I'm doing dry January. Like, I haven't drunk this week, which has been good. Obviously, like, I'm sure for some people that's like, oh yeah, that's totally normal. But I'm a comedian, people. We tend to drink a lot. It's most gigs that we do. And yeah, so that was also interesting about this week, was doing comedy sober. It's been quite a while since I've done that. But yeah, I've been doing that. I've been, you know, fucking doing yoga. I've been trying my best to plan for the future, essentially. Try and, you know, keep myself mentally and physically strong. And also try and, you know, be creatively fulfilled. And hey, if I can make a little bit of cash, that would be nice too. But trying to do all of that, trying to like keep motivation for the future when it does feel like everything's going to shit. Like, we know this. Like, we know about global warming and shit. We can see the global politics that is playing out at the moment as well. There's so much that's just not going to get better anytime soon, I don't think. And yeah, it does make all the personal shit seem very, very small and somewhat frivolous, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think that can sometimes give you freedom, but for myself, it's definitely given me a lack of hope. And you know what they say, hope dies last. I mean, I guess I'd still have hope, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be here. But yeah, man, like, I don't know where you're at with everything, but hopefully in a slightly better headspace, and hopefully this hasn't like put you in a negative headspace. But I'm sure there are some other people out there right now who do feel the same way as me and are looking around and just going like, what the fuck? Like, for real, this is it? This is the future we are promised? Like, this is it? And then I'm like, actually, no, the future we were promised was probably a bit worse. Like, I've read a lot of sci-fi, people. It could get a lot fucking worse. Like, the imaginations of sci-fi writers, unfortunately, predicted a lot of the future, and I'm hoping not a lot more. Let's just say that. But yeah, we are actually kind of entering the Philip K. Dick era of the future, especially with, you know, the whole "do androids dream of electric sheep" vibe. Although he's got some dark fucking short stories. Holy fuck! There's this one with like angels and shit that is just like pure fucking horror. Like, you're just dark, dark, dark shit, man. That man had quite the imagination. And unfortunately, you've got people like Elon Musk and other tech bros who basically want to bring his imagination into reality with a lot of the nonsense that they're getting up to. But yeah, you know, throughout history, people have persisted. That is, I guess, the takeaway from reading through history and that, you know, there's been a lot of bad shit that's happened to a lot of people. Like, just so much. It's almost constant. Yet, as a species, we do fucking persist. Like, after years of terror and darkness, there often is light, and people manage to find purpose, and people manage to find joy and continue living, you know, have families, have new existences. Like, can you imagine what it must be like to be someone who lived through World War II and is still here today? Like, everything they've seen, everything they've gone through, it's fucking immense, man. And I mean, I'm not just talking about, you know, people who were alive at that time. I mean, people who were actually involved in the war, you know, people who were fighting, people who were in concentration camps, people who just had their towns carpet fucking bombed, you know? Like, That shit, I can't even imagine what it's like to carry on living after that, after what a lot of Palestinian people are going through at the moment. Like, I don't even know how you carry on, but there is a will. There is clearly, like, there is a will to just continue to survive, to not let the darkness win, not let the dark forces win, not let evil fucking people win. And I obviously admire that, and I don't know, like, I mean, I hope I would be the same in a similar situation, but I don't know. Like, I really don't fucking know. I think I'd probably be praying for bombs just to take me the fuck out so I wouldn't have to deal with it. You know, that's me being completely honest there. And maybe it's a bit cowardly, but it's also, I don't think, unreasonable. At the same time, I do think there is beauty in resistance and in the unconquerable human spirit. As who wrote Invictus again? Who fucking wrote that? I've forgotten now. But it matters not how straight the gates, how charged with punishments a scroll. I am the captain of my fate, the master of my soul. Like, yeah, that's unconquerable fucking spirit, you know? The Nelson Mandela shit. That resolve that some people manage to have through adversity that does lead to actual change. I mean, it's what's needed. I just... maybe I'm wrong, but, like, yeah, like, the forces of evil definitely seem to be winning these days. But, you know, life's all about perspective. Apparently. I mean, it is. Like, we all literally live in, like, our own realities. And they're shaped by all manner of influences and all manner of circumstances. Like, I also think, you know, when your back's up against the wall and you don't really have much choice, yeah, you gotta fucking fight. It's funny because... I'm probably wrong about this, but one of the things I've said a few times in my life is that I think depression is like a middle class ailment, because poor people don't have the fucking time to be depressed. They don't have the opportunity or the option to be depressed. They've got to just keep on fucking, you know, surviving, keep on just trying to get through to the next fucking day. And yeah, when you don't have the time to think about how shit life is and, you know, how hard you have it. And I mean, I know this isn't just what depression is. Obviously, I fucking deal with it, and I know all about, I've even read about the evolution of fucking depression and how it can be helpful and necessary in all of these things and how it puts your body into low mood states. But I also do think there is a societal aspect to it, and there is an aspect to it where, yeah, only certain people are allowed to be depressed, because yeah, other people just have to fucking keep on living their lives despite the circumstances. So that's all I've got to say for today, I guess. Oh man, what the fuck? What a start to the year, hey? Like, Lemon, it's only Wednesday. And fuck. I don't know, man. Hopefully I'm wrong about everything. That's all I can say, is hopefully I am wrong about everything. And soon we can just live nice, idyllic fucking lives, but it's not going to happen if it's not fought for. You know, that is the reality. That's also something that history teaches me. Like, but even after that, that's the only other fucking problem, is revolutionaries eventually become dictators, I guess. Like, to simplify things as much as possible, that's not entirely the thing, but eventually, like, it is just a cycle of people in power, and, you know, the proletariat takes it away from the bourgeoisie, and the proletariat become the bourgeoisie, or some members of them become members of the bourgeoisie and the ruling class, and then you gotta take them out, and then there's the new people who, you know, take power, and then that power corrupts them, and then you gotta take them out. So yeah, the future looks bright, people. The future looks fucking bright. Ugh, okay, time for the Patreon shoutouts. So as anyone who has listened this far into the podcast probably knows, At the end of every episode, we give shout outs to the titular titles tier over at patreon.com. Also, if you sign up to any of the other tiers, I will shout you out for the week that you do that. But each and every single week, right here on the Almost Perfect Podcast, we shout out the titular titles tier. Now, it's the top tier, it's the $10 tier. And like I mentioned, you get to pick your title. So, shout outs to Russell, the storage clerk of Sussel Heresies in the Lesser Overberg region. Russell Grant, the Far East correspondent. Neil Green, the key grip. Kron Slemon, the almost perfect hedge fund manager. Riz Ventura, the director of purchasing. Karan Chetty, assistant to the regional manager. Kath Jenkin, the inevitable ruler of the universe and Queen Swifty. And Stephen Olafir, the executive producer. Thank you all. Thank you all very much. Thank you to everyone that signed up to the Patreon. It is much appreciated. And yeah, if you wanna catch me doing some comedy, I'm gonna be hosting the Not Quite Right open mic for the first time, actually. It's been going for like 3 or 4 months now, and I haven't hosted any of the gigs. I mean, I've hosted other gigs at Aces, but I haven't hosted the open mic, so I'm going to be doing that next week, which should be quite fun. Pull through if you still have some cash left over. It's only 40 rand entry. There are drink specials and stuff. And hey, if you do Dry January, you don't even have to worry about that. You can just sip on some water and save yourself some money. And that's what I'm going to be doing. So come catch me out at Ace's Pizza on Wednesday. It'll be cool to try and laugh about the absurdity and the horrors with you. Thank you to Damien Root for the bed music you hear under my dulcet tones, the banging intro you hear at the start of each and every single episode. And lastly, shoutouts to you. I will catch you on the flip side.